But going back to the Zala night, Mr. Seeping met Miriam, as I said before, was a really kind old gentleman. Despite all the so-called wealth it was supposed to have, and the factory itself was laid out more like a hospital than a factory. One could walk along the paved stones for miles, it seemed. In fact, the shop where I worked was 82 number. But between each shop, which could hold at least 200 people, I should imagine, there were huge high walls, anything up to 10, 12, or perhaps higher, that isolated one shop from another. And this was the insurance's idea of isolating each particular shop against a fire hazard. It's spaced out perhaps every 20 feet or so, even on the grass swards, was fire hydrants and hoses ready. And also the firm had its own fire brigade that would do fire practice. Really, the whole set out was a pleasant place to work in. One had the garage right at the far end of the factory, adjoining what used to be in those days Rolls Farm, a roper's farm. We used to go down there in the sports time. The band would play. I was in the band. I was very fond of music. The band would be playing on the afternoons, Saturday afternoons, and the cricket would be with their usual commentaries going upon them. Teas were served, and everybody had quite an enjoyable time. That was that part of the business. Coming back to the factory itself, there was hundreds of workers there. I cannot tell you exactly how many, but there was collars made, combs were made, brushes, brush drawing, bristles were scrubbed and treated, peroxide to make them a blonde colour instead of black. There was sheet zalenite, toiletries of all descriptions that needed containers, and every one of these could be seen being pressed out and made in certain different shops. In some cases, the combs, not only were they moulded, and the teeth moulded in the dye, but the mould also was made by the engineers. So the firm had no trouble to go outside for practically anything except the raw material. And the engineer's shop could make all the things. And in the first place, the block of steel would usually come from the blacksmith shop, who shaped it up near enough for the turner and the millwright to do his stuff on. And then the other combs, what was called the best work, they were cut by a saw, a circular saw, that cut the tooth, each and every tooth, whether it was coarse or fine, as we used to call them. In those days, the comb was made up in two parts. One half of the comb was in rather large teeth, and the other half of the comb in fine teeth. So you either had what we used to call a rake or a fine tooth comb. This could be done by saw as well. They were for the first class work. After that, they were what was called burr-grailed. The teeth used to go through some grinding effect, which brought the teeth shaped up at the end. Instead of having a rough cut, you had a nice smooth edge of the tooth. And then they were polished on buffs using a polishing soap which the firm made themselves. They had their own stores containing it, practically everything that they required, even to acetone, butyl acetate, methylated spirits, amyl acetate. All these were used in the manufacture of zalenite and for the spreading of the liquid of a cement kind, which greatly increased the polish on the outside of all the combs, things, everything.
What sort of firm were they to work for? You say that Mr. Merriam was a very nice gentleman. Were they a very benevolent sort of firm, providing lots of advantages for their employees?
Yes, you can put this down if you like. The firm itself, Mr. Merriam was always a gentleman, to my mind, who wanted to do as much as he could for his work people, and he started a savings bank. He approved of that. He laid out grounds that they could have tennis and football, cricket. He sponsored one or two clubs and wish drives, and every year there was a party given so that the parents that worked there and all their children and each and every child that went to this Christmas party had a splendid tea. of cakes and whatever you could eat, bread and butter, sandwiches. Also, they ended up with a conjurer, Punch and Judy. Everyone got a bag of sweets, an orange, also a toy. And the toys were really first class, they weren't rubbish, and they must have cost the firm pounds and pounds. But nevertheless, everybody enjoyed it and everybody looked forward to it. I've known Mr. Merriam when he's walked up and down. There was always a smile. If he knew you intimately, there was always a few kindly words. And he would always speak first, as soon as he see you, whether he knew you or not, he would say good morning. And that was the same of his two sons when they came eventually sometime afterwards. I remember them first as school children, or rather schoolboys, but eventually they did start there. They was of a kindly disposition, but more businesslike probably than their father.